Amen. Our hearts truly are lifted up and excited, and it's just something about singing. I was thinking as sitting there in worship, thinking of how songs are important, not just with worship, but it even chronicles our seasons. There's a station that every year around this time, they play Christmas music. And it's not, I'm not advocating Christmas, but if you got presents that you don't want, just send them my way. But it's amazing that how our seasons are even chronicled. Bing Crosby, Nat King Cole, those are names that just take us into the season. And truly, there are worship songs that we sing that bring back so many memories and give us so much encouragement and strength and optimism about tomorrow. It's the beauty of the singing that God has put in all of us. Even the stars sing. It's just the birds sing. There's something special about singing. And God has gifted us as a congregation of having several great song leaders to help us to learn and to participate in the singing, if you will, toward our Father. We want to thank Brother Alexander as well as others that lead us in our voices, and especially tonight. It's just a meaningful experience of our worship to God. If you're visiting with us, we know you could be many places, but you're here. We're reminded, Brother Shelton reminded us this morning, just kind of we lose track of it, and this is our first Sunday in 2019. I don't know about you, but that says something. I mean, it's like, wow, we're in a new year. 2019, you're going to have to learn how to put the 9 there. Not so bad, because we had an 8. You can just kind of make a 9 out of the 8, you know. Okay, all right. You don't have a problem with that. The message tonight is really, I would say, a personal message, because every year, we have these resolutions, and some of us just make copies and just change the date, because we'll have them again next year. Maybe it's age, maybe it's wisdom, but I'm beginning to see a little bit more in the resolutions than just some of those previous sermons in years gone by. I remember one, it was resolution is the solution. And I think I'm still working on those resolutions from about 15 years ago. In looking at the nature of our God and the fact that we're made in His image, I think there's some insight there as we go and cross over the Jordan into a new year. It's ironic that this morning in the adult Bible class in the auditorium, we're in Joshua chapter 3, where after 1,000 years of promise to Abraham, after Moses had labored for 120 years, Israel now, when the Levitical priests go and their feet touch the brink of the water of Jordan, the water begins to dry up, and God leads the people over. These folk will go from being sojourners, from being travelers, from being ex-slaves, if you will, to now being property owners and part of the nation that God had so promised in the past. Transition. Our God is able, and He made us in His image, to basically deal and live in 3 time zones. He's in the past, He's in the present, and He's also in the future. You and I have been blessed by God to be able to participate in those 3 time zones as well. If I ask you what you did yesterday, you'll have to go out of this present time zone into the yesterday's time zone and tell me what you did. Well, we ate bacon and eggs for breakfast, and we, did this or put up Christmas lights or whatever the case might be. You're in a different time zone. If we ask what we're going to do so far as resolutions for this year, we're in another time zone. We're not talking future. I'm going to lose 40 pounds. I'm going to, do this. I'm going to be a better that. All of that is future. You're not there yet. But you and I as humans have the capacity to really think about tomorrow. Squirrels, they do it, but they do it out of instinct, because God has put into them this capacity to store nuts for the winter. They don't think about it. They just do it because that's what comes natural to them. But you and I are different. We actually think about tomorrow, and we have the capacity, because God has put into all of us the sense of eternity. We actually can understand or have conversation about eternity. What a wonderful thought. I'm glad of that, because you and I are striving to go and be with God in eternity. It's good for us to be able to at least kind of handle some understanding about eternity. The different time zones. Our brother Paul wrote something that I've labored on and meditated on and thought about, and I want to share with you tonight. He writes to the church at Philippi, one of his four prison epistles, along with Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. Paul writes this letter to the Philippian brethren, helping them to understand, challenging them, encouraging them in regard to their service to the Lord. Paul has a habit, if you will, of putting himself out there as an example. In fact, he would tell brethren that you are our epistle, written by us. And so Paul has this commonality, if you will, to identify with the brethren to which he is writing. Brethren, he says in verse number 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, or yet to have laid hold, if you will. But this one thing I do, Paul says, and watch the different time zones that Paul talks about here. Forgetting those things which are behind, that's in the past, reaching forth unto those things which are before, that's in the future. Paul says, currently in the present, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We wrapped up last year with the idea of this last quarter, in talking about the faith, that victorious faith, that faith that is going to give us a victorious harvest. I think summarizing that along with our brother Paul's comments here in verse number, chapter 3, in verses 13 and 14, I want to just lay a lesson out tonight. As we look back at 2018, and as we look forward to 2019, you and I are in the midst of that. The past behind us, the future in front of us, but here we stand in the present tense with our God being our helper. Paul writes in verse number 14, this is what I do, and this will be my motivation for us tonight. Paul says, I press forward. I press forward. I don't know about you, but 2018 has some bright spots, but it has some dark spots as well. Amen. We in 2018 went through different challenges, not only individually, as families, as a church. We all have experienced 2018. And some of us are saying, good riddance. I'm glad you're gone, and I'm sorry to stay so long. Some of us look at 2018 and it was a wonderful time. It was a wonderful experience. Maybe I got married. Maybe we had children. Maybe you got the job that I've been longing for. Maybe I got the house or the car. So 2018 is wonderful. Some of us are looking forward to tomorrow. And we anticipate how wonderful this year is going to be. Got a clean bill of health. And it just assures me that I get another one in 2019. So I'm anticipating wonderful things. Got a job, got all this stuff. I'm saved $18 billion in 2019, even though I haven't saved $10 in the last 5 years. Anticipation of the future. Paul writes to the church at Philippi. In Acts chapter 16, we know that this is a time when Paul is embarking upon his second missionary journey. And this particular journey is going to include Silas because of the conflict between Paul and Barnabas. And John Mark, now Paul and Silas will go. And in the Philippians chapter 3, we begin to see the culmination, if you will, of the gospel actually going into Europe, where it would be Paul, our brother Paul, that will receive the Macedonian call, come over into Macedonia and help us. Paul goes over there as the gospel goes into Europe. He will land at a place called Neapolis. It was an area that was a seaport, if you will, to this city of Philippi. You know Philippi. That's where Lydia lived. And it was one of those early converts there in Philippi. This woman opened up her home to Paul. Paul and Silas preached. And as a result of that, they underwent persecution. And next thing you know, they were in jail. They were beaten and with stripes and whatnot and placed in jail. But God worked things out. You know what he did? He actually caused Paul to convert the Philippian jailer. Yeah. What a wonderful God. This is Paul's history. As we bid farewell to 2018 and as we say hello to 2019, there are some things that we need to consider. We are made in the image of God. That's chapter 1 of Genesis. No matter how dark 2018 was, or no matter how bright 2019 is, that God made you and me in his image. You might not have a lot going for you, or you might have a whole lot going for you, but one thing all of us have going for us, and that is we're made in the image of God. We're made after his likeness. And when we think we're broke and have nothing else to spend, we have the fact that we're the only creation that was made in his image. I'm going someplace with this. I'm just trying to set the foundation. We're made into different situations. You and I, as humans, we can live in hot climates because we take some clothes off. We can live in cold climates. We put more clothes on. It doesn't matter the climate. We can adjust. We can change. God made us with that capacity to change, learn different languages, learn different cultures. It's a beautiful thing to live in America because we have a cosmopolitan culture. Well, there are some things that we like chitlins and hog maws and all of that, but not everybody. At least, no, everybody won't admit it publicly, you know. But we change cultures. We can go and we can eat a hamburger at McDonald's, or we can sit down at the French Room in downtown Dallas. We're able to adjust, transition. We're able. We have the ability to visit various time zones, as I mentioned, the past, the present, and also the future. We have that capacity. This gift, though, like all other blessings that God gives us, can pose a challenge for us. It can be a challenge. Philippians chapter 3, Paul talks, if you will, about each one of these time zones. As we make our resolutions, as we assess the situation for our lives this coming year, three things I want to just throw out for you to consider. Number one, you and I deal in the past. Our brother Paul says something interesting here as to how we are to handle the past or history. Paul says you need to forget it. Philip's translation says you need to leave it behind. That is true in so many ways, especially from a psychological perspective, because we have absolutely nothing we can do about the past except learn from it. That's it. And so Paul says, forget the past, leave it behind. But who is this that's given us these instructions? A fellow that really needed to forget the past. Do you know who writes this? The fellow that writes this is one that killed our brethren, our brothers and our sisters. It was one that met God on his way up to Damascus to bring bound back down to Jerusalem, our brethren. Paul had something to forget. Paul had something that he had to leave behind. This is the same fellow that claimed to be this wonderful religious leader, this wonderful part of the Sanhedrin. But this guy actually opposed God Almighty. That's Paul. He killed Christians. He persecuted Christians. And he thought he was doing God a favor. I oftentimes think about Paul as he started preaching and holding gospel meetings. I wonder what it was like for somebody to come up to Paul and say, you know, Paul, when you were with the Sanhedrin, you caused my mother to be arrested, and I haven't seen her since. Paul, you locked up my father, and he was the only breadwinner in our home. And we had to go on the streets to beg for food. Paul, you're the one that produced lies about us. You said that we were cannibals. You said that those Christians that were partaking of the Lord's Supper, eating his flesh and drinking his blood, Paul, you made a false accusation against us. You said that we are cannibalistic. Paul,
You're the one that spread all kind of rumors about us being involved in sexual orgies because we all met in a quiet place in the catacombs, and we there, men and women, participated in worship to God. You told a lie on us, Paul. Paul says, forgetting the past. Paul will not spend a whole lot of time surging and regurgitating his past life. I don't know if that touches the base tonight. I bet 9 times out of 2, you probably have something in 2018 that you brought over into 2019. In the past are our hurts. In the past are all the injustices that could be done to us. In the past is our pain. And one of the things you and I as humans can do, we can bring those things forward like shackles around our legs, and we drag it on into the next year. Some of us have baggage and luggage that we've been dragging for years. Paul says, forgetting that which is behind. If Paul could say, I'm going to leave behind my previous lifestyle of persecuting Christians, what in your life is so significant that you have to keep bringing it forward with you? I'm just talking about some personal thoughts tonight. Paul persecuted Christians, withstood God. Paul even made mistakes once he became a Christian. In Acts chapter 23, verse 2, all of a sudden he heard somebody say, smack him in the mouth. Paul's response was, God's going to smack you in the mouth. And then they started smacking him because he said, how can you talk like that against the high priest? Paul says, my bad. I did not know he was a high priest. So just because Paul persecuted Christians and made mistakes as an antagonist toward God and his people, even once Paul became a Christian, Paul still made mistakes. And he made things that he had to leave behind. Where are you at tonight as we go into 2018? You have the capacity to take 2018 17, 16, 19, 35. You have the capacity to take all of that into 2018 and 2019. What are you going to leave behind? How long have you been carrying the pain? How long have you been carrying the regret? How long have you been carrying the wounds that you've been carrying? Is it time for you to leave it behind? Can you hold on to God and eternity while holding on to the past? You got to let something go. Are the blessings of God, are the generosity of God significant enough that we can allow the past to be put behind us? I'm talking about the time zones as we press forward. Depression, hopelessness, frustration, discouragement, all of those things were generated out of our past. Paul says, learn from it and do what? Leave it. Leave it. I think about this, brethren, and I think maybe some of the reason you and I are not as joyous, grateful, thankful as Christians is because we keep carrying so much weight from yesterday. Not saying at all about the idea of, well, about justice and how these folk that hurt us need to be punished. And I'm not saying that. But you know our example? Our Savior died on a cross. And do you realize some of the last words he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here is Paul actually persecuting followers of Jesus. He says, I'm going to leave it behind. Jesus on the cross being crucified by ungodly people, he tells God, forgive them. Our Lord did not die with the results and the anger from the past. He let it go. He let it go. Now, I'm not saying we're there yet. I'm just throwing out the possibilities. You and I can actually release history. Does that mean then these folk are going to get away, or what's injustice that was done to me is going to be slapped? No, God is a judge. If somebody speeds by you out on the highway, the speed limit is in a 20-mile-an-hour speed zone, a school zone, and somebody goes by you doing 80 miles an hour, you don't have to chase them. The police is down on the corner. Does this make sense tonight? So when we look about pressing forward, it is about this idea of leaving stuff behind. When you're traveling, you know, especially when if you fly on Spirit or some of the other airlines, you can't even take a bag. I hope nobody works for Spirit. I mean, it's a wonderful airlines if you're just going to take yourself. But I don't know, they might even charge you if you're 20 pounds overweight. But you learn real quickly how you need to travel light. I'm suggesting tonight, as we go into 2019, you and I learn how to travel light. Baggage we can leave behind is stuff that happened 2018 or earlier. Maybe you didn't come out of a family that had everything going for it, but that's who you are. Maybe you wish you could have been born a little lighter or a little darker, but this is who you are. Maybe you wish your mom and dad could have been more encouraging and supportive of you, but this is where you are. And so you and I can only allow that past to control us as much as we allow it to control us. Paul says, I got a lot of regret. I got a lot of things that I should be sorry for. I persecuted Christians. I withstood God Almighty. I withstood His Messiah. And yet I'm able to be used by God to preach and teach the wonderful news about His loving Savior. Leaving the past, forgetting it. Moving on. Press forward is the idea. But secondly, in this passage, in verse number 13, we see not only do I forget that which is behind, Paul says, I reach forth unto those things which are before. Paul says, there is another aspect to us, again, from our divine creation. You and I have the capacity to delve into the future. Now, one thing we learned, if we stay too much time in the future, we can get anxious. Because so much can happen tomorrow. I mean, can you imagine you just bought some stock, and the stock market right now is real high, but a few weeks ago, the bottom dropped out of it. And you bought a new car, you park all the way to the other side of the parking lot, only to look out your window, and there's 800 parking places free except the one next to you. And whoever parked next to you, they park next to you because you have a new car. And they know you're not going to ding their door. But they don't think about them dinging yours. And sure enough, when you get out of there, you got a ding. So now you park on the next block. Our future. We can see things that are not as if they are. That's what God has given us. We have the capacity to live in the future, to dwell in the future. Many of us have built homes, not just the physical home, but these personal homes, our physical, our relational homes, wife and husband, children. We sat down one day at a coffee table, and we talked about how we can plan our future. Now, not even a request to get married has taken place. But we're sitting down and we're enjoying, if you will, the possibilities. How many kids do you want? How many do you want? What area of the world do you want to live in? Do you like? We're planning. And we're talking about the house we're going to, it's a little white picket fence. It's going to be around the outskirts of the town. We visualize that and we both buy into that. And then later on we get married and the kids start coming along. But we had that vision. Before I even ask, do you or will you? That's us humans, the capacity to visit into the future. So what are you saying, preacher? We have some restraints. We have some limitations. Luke chapter 12, verse number 18. We can plan the future, but you and I cannot produce in the future. We have some limitations. our future activity, there's a scripture that even in Luke 12 talks about covetousness, but it puts it into the context of you and I dwelling too much in the future and lose sight of the current or the present. In James chapter 4, verse 13 through 15, here's the restraints of our future. Don't get comfortable in the future because you ain't there yet and you might not make it. In the final analysis, our life, James says, is like a vapor. Who is a vapor that appears for a short while and then it vanishes away. No matter how steaming hot that oatmeal or that steak or whatever you just ordered, no matter how hot it is, no matter how much steam is coming off of it, just sit there for about 5 minutes. It's cold as ice. You send it back. Can you all reheat this? You know, it happens a lot when you're having a conversation at the table. You know, you're talking and you're visiting back and forth, and you know, you tell the waiter first, "I really like a hot meal," and they said, "Okay." They bring you out a hot meal, and you think about another point. You know, something. And next thing you talk, and you get ready to sip your soup, and it's cold. Excuse me, sir, ma'am, can you take this back? It's cold. He's going, "Well, hot when I left it there, okay." But they start working on the tip, and so sure, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. They bring it back. It's piping hot. And all of a sudden, you realize here's another point we need to talk about. And we get to talking. 15, 20 minutes later, the soup is cold again. That's the future for us. No matter how bright it looks, no matter how much steam is coming off the cup, it's going to vaporize, go into a vapor. It's going to disappear. But you and I have the capacity to live in the future. As our brother Paul says here in verse number 14, Paul says in verse 13, I reach forth unto those things which are before me. Paul lived a life of planning, but his planning was under the auspices of God's will. And I think that's the key for us. Go ahead and plan 2019, but ask yourself, where's God at in this plan? Because if I'm going to go into the future, the only one that's in the future waiting on me is God Almighty. So I want to make sure I plan according to his purpose. What does God want for me? That's what I need to grow into. What will God, with God's help, do I plan to do in 2019? Maybe I want to memorize more scripture. Maybe I want to memorize an entire book of the Bible. Wouldn't that be something? You think God will help you with that plan? Maybe I want to be a more effective teacher. I want to learn new skill sets for sharing the word of God. You think God will help you with that? I want to be a better father. I want to be a better mother. I want to be a better brother or sister. You think God will help you with that? There are some things that I'm struggling with that I brought out of 2018, 17, 16 that I want to release. You think God will help you with that? That's what we're talking about so far as the planning of the future. The only thing we can do in regard to the future is to plan for it. So where does that leave us? Paul says, I forget that which is in the past because I can't change it. I'm striving forward to that which is in the future, but I realize that without God's help, it won't occur, and that is our present. And this is when Paul says, brethren, I press toward the mark. That's what we can do in the present. I press on. I learn in the present how to put the past behind me. I learn in the present how I can evaluate and look forward to the future possibilities. All of that is done right now in the present. There's a name that God uses. It's the name Jehovah. And the understanding of that word Jehovah is that he's a God of presence. When God made us, that name Jehovah came into being that I'm with you. I'm present with you. No matter what happens tomorrow, I'll be there. No matter what happened yesterday, I'll be there. No matter what goes on right now, I'll be there. God is a present God. He likes you and me being present with him. That's why we're told every day to give praises to him, give honor to him, to sanctify ourselves to him. Why? Because God likes us being in the present with him. This day, give thanks for the food This day, give thanks for the health. This day, you get the idea. God likes us being in the present, and that's what you and I need to be about in 2019. God, I want to learn from my past, and the best person that can learn from your past is you. And the best person that can plan for your future is who? You. And the best person can enable all of that in the present is, guess who? You. That's the idea. So what's the message for tonight? Matthew 6:34 talks about when you hear his voice in the present tense. The idea is sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If you and I get too far out there in the future, guess what? The future will overwhelm us. And some of us are there. You ever think about all the stuff you got going on? Well, it can be overwhelming. You know, if the car doesn't start, I'm going to be late for work tomorrow. If the strike goes on, somebody might call in. The day after, maybe I might have an accident coming home. Or, you know, anxiety. Struggling with anxiety a little bit? Lay the plan down and give it to the Lord. That's the best you can do. Anything beyond that, you are trying to take control over an arena that you can't take control over. No matter how much you lay, no matter how great you are as an investor, you know, they had a monkey that was making better projections than some of the chief financial. In fact, they have an article now, I think it's out on Yahoo or somebody, that talks about how poverty is among a lot of the financial advisors. Some are head over the heels in debt because they're trying to predict the future. The future's hard. It's hard to predict. And when you think you got it, you missed it. Stay where you are, right here. You want to give a cup of cold water? You can't do it tomorrow. You can only give that cup of cold water right now. Your past or your being, you don't understand all the stuff that I've been through. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. We'll finish off that word. No better but the Lord. No better but Jesus. Your past is horrific, but guess what? It's your past. Are you going to stay tied to it to the degree that it will hamper you for the rest of your life? Or will you, by God's grace, forget it like Paul did? I don't know how many here have killed Christians. I don't know how many folk that are here that have blasphemed God Almighty. I don't know how many people here that have discounted the salvation of Jesus Christ. Paul says, that's what I did. But I left it behind. I left it behind. If Jesus on the cross can forgive those that are crucifying him, how much more can be done to us that will prevent us from releasing that as we go into 2019. Message tonight, press forward. I got a horrible past. To that we say, press forward. You don't know that my future is not, is dim, it's dark, I don't, press forward. My past right now, I don't know where I am, press forward. God has blessed us as a congregation, he's blessed us individually, but you don't understand, I lost loved ones. They're gone, right? Is there anything you can learn from those loved ones that have gone on? I learned how if I don't treat them right, I'll have regret. So the loved ones that are left, I'm going to treat them right. I wish I could have told mom. I wish I could have told dad, my brother, my sister. What? I wish I could have told them I love them. You got any folk left in your world that need to be told how much you love them? Learn the lesson. Tell them. Well, I've been wanting to do something, but I just don't know when I'm going to get around to it. Did you get around to it last year? Did you get around to it the year before that? So the only way you're going to get around to it is what? Do it. Do it. Well, I love going to Bible class, but I don't, maybe later on. Like all of a sudden, Bible class attendance is going to just jump down on you. Sometime in the future. Are you planning for it? So my lesson tonight is simply to press forward, being aware that you and I have three time zones. So instead of all the resolutions, let us deal with our past, because if we stay there in our past, brethren, it can rob us of present joys. If you go to a restaurant and they don't treat you right, and if you hold on to that, no other waitress is going to treat you right. I planned for the future and it didn't work out. Okay, you think your plans are so good that they're perfect? Draft up some new plans, because that's the only thing we can do about the future. A year from now, when we're having this message again, can you take out your plan and see what you planned on doing in 2019? How did it work? I'm going to learn more scripture. Did you plan for it? No, I just said I was going to do it. You just threw it out there. You didn't. Am I going to be a better father? Well, what does that look like? I'm going to go to more of the games. You get the idea. I got a plan here. Now we have something to pray for you for. And we can pray for one another for. But if you say, well, I just want to be a better person. What does that look like? Being a better person. I want to be more loving. What does that look like? I want to be more loving. I mean, help me here. I don't understand. Do you mean that you want to be more helpful? You want to support? Let's put some meat on the bone. Because you and I, as human beings made in the image of God, have the capacity to plan our future. That's the only way we can deal with the future. Let's not leave it to happenstance. Young people, a year from now, will you be able to say, I just finished a year of college? Can I say, a year from now, my marriage now is more stable than it was a year ago? Because this is what I've done. I've learned to respect my wife. I've learned to respect my husband. Can you say that? Point I'm simply making is, no matter where you are, let's press forward. Let's press forward. God being our helper, one thing I learned from Joshua chapter 3, and that is, out of all of those many years, God promised God's people back in Abraham's day, 1,000 years later, Moses comes along. 400 years has transpired. 120 years, God used Moses, and finally God gave them the promised land. God planned it. It was in the mind of God, and God worked his plan. But in working that plan, which was in the future, God, from a present standpoint, walked with his people day by day. Day by day. Pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. We have a God that has committed to us that he will walk with us in the present. Let's forget yesterday. We can't do anything about it. Somebody did you wrong, the wrong is done. You got hurt, you got scars, yeah, okay. Don't even put any makeup on it. Let the scars show, because that becomes your track record. I'm not some person that has no marks. I'm not like Muhammad Ali getting into the ring and said, I'm still pretty. No, you and I bear in our bodies the results of our faithfulness to God. Let's bear that in the present. I know he's a good God. Why? Because I see where he brought me from. And I see the hope that he can take me to it. Therefore, I'm going to press forward. So as we lay out 2019, let's deal with our past. Learn from it. Yesteryear, what can you learn from it? We can deal with our future tomorrow. How can we plan for it? How can I make it a more God-appealing tomorrow? And in the present, that's where I do my work. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I'm not going to plan too much tomorrow, because every time I go out of this time zone, I lose some of the energy that I can use in this time zone. Are you here tonight? We serve a God that made us in his image, a God that has the past, the present, and the future. And he can deal with people like Paul, who had a horrible past, and he can bring Paul with a hopeful future, and he can work with Paul in a present. Hear the wonderful news about this God, how much he loves us, how he will never turn his back on you, not yesterday, today, or tomorrow. Isn't it good to serve a God that is always there? No matter where you go, he's there. Go to the highest mountain, he's already there. Go to the depths of the sea, he's down there waiting on you. That's the kind of God we have. Hear the wonderful news. Believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess the great name. Yes, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Trusting him to wash away my past, give me hope for the future, and walk with me in the present. If you're here tonight, subject to heaven's invitation, in any way, won't you please come? We'll together stand, sing a song of invitation.
Restore my spirit, Lord, I need restore.
God bless you, sister.
My heart is weak.